Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, a A-State track and field athlete getting ready to compete at the U.S. Olympic Trials this week. Really exciting stuff there. Also, the soccer schedule coming out here in the last few days. Some other stuff going on as well. But right now, I want to welcome in our special guest, the athletic director. We don't even mess around with that vice chancellor intercollegiate athletic stuff. It's Jeff Purinton. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great. How about you guys?
We're doing well. We were just actually joking about it, but you're part of an exclusive club now. You're a three-timer here on the podcast. You and Coach Jones, the only ones that can say that. So congratulations.
Appreciate that. It's an honor.
We're going to make this guy get to 2 years before he gets to be on again.
Well, we did kind of wait for that, but happy 2 year anniversary at Arkansas State. This past week, you did it by introducing a new head coach. The same day you hit 2 years, we had a press conference for Mike Silva. So to bring in a guy like that, I know you had to be really proud. This is a guy that I know kind of stood out throughout this process. Why was Coach Silva the guy?
He did, and we looked at a variety of coaches, assistants at the highest level, certainly head coaches at different levels as well. But when we really started to dig into the names and the bios, everybody's background, and then talking to other ADs and people in the baseball world, you know, Mike's name kept coming up. And then when you looked at what he did at Nichols and then all the other places he's been, I mean, I think that's one of the things we've talked about with Coach Hotson. He's done it at all different levels. So sometimes you got to figure it out in different ways there. And he certainly did it at Nichols. So we set up some Zooms. And when we talked to Mike, just his enthusiasm and his energy just right from the jump, his love for the game of baseball really stood out. So it was important for him to come to campus. So we wanted to get him here as quick as possible. So a few days later, we brought him up to Jonesboro. Brandon Cunningham and myself went and picked him up at the airport just so we could have another, you know, hour and a half in the car with him, kind of go over our thoughts and visions for the program, listen to what he was looking for. And then I had some meetings that I had to leave for Friday afternoon, so tried to squeeze in as much time as possible. But even in person and as much as the Zoom, I just felt like he was the right guy, the right fit. We talked a lot about community and the people, and I talked about that being one of the main factors for me to come to Jonesboro. And it's been amazing. My family's adjusted so well. He has a 10-year-old son. He and his wife, Reagan, have a 10-year-old son, Dylan. So that was going to be a key factor for him as well. So really identified Mike as the top target. And my personality is I'm just going to go all in on number one and try to go get him. And fortunately, we were able to do so.
So now that you've done it, we're in the cone of honesty here.
Always.
If we had been even sitting around the office and you started this process, forget the coach's name and forget the school's name, I just said, oh, by the way, you can go hire you a guy that's a Division I head coach and has had his team in the last two regionals. Would you have believed it at the beginning of the process?
I would, because I think we have a lot to sell here. And I think the support from our board of trustees, from Dr. Shields, from the system office, and that baseball is an important piece to the bigger picture of what we want to do at A-State. So I believe that, and I think we have a lot of great things to offer, and I felt like we had enough ammunition to go out and hire somebody of that caliber.
I thought it was really cool, and Coach Silva mentioned it during the press conference. Coach Jones and Coach Hotson were both involved in the recruiting process, and I know you and I were talking about it after the press conference. You wanted your best recruiters to help out in this.
Yeah, no question. And we're all in this together, whether it's administration, our coaches, our staff. And obviously those two are Coach Jones had three number one classes in the Sun Belt. Brian's brought in a top 40 class this year. So obviously they know what they're doing from a recruiting perspective, whether it's their staff, their coaches, you know, or their student athletes. So talked to both of them, and I just felt like it'd be important to get Mike in front of them and spend some time. And they're really good about giving open and honest feedback, and that's one of the things Coach Silva hit on. We didn't try to sugarcoat anything. Here's all the areas where we need to get better. Here's our plan. And I think that he really appreciated that.
It was kind of funny, the memo of understanding going public, sort of in its own right, served as an announcement of sorts when it comes to the facility. So we talk about kind of the immediate next steps there, stuff that is happening, and maybe convince people that it was happening no matter what, that Coach Silva didn't just strong arm you into saying that you'd do X, Y, and Z.
No, and I think we've talked about it before. We needed to figure out the field first, and putting in turf became the answer to that as we did our research. We missed the first two games of the first conference baseball series that I was here for 2 years ago. That's something we can't have happen. So we got to start with the field. Turf is kind of the way it's going now. Most of the high school kids even play on turf, play in tournaments on turf. So we wanted to start with that, and even had Dr. Shields jump on the phone with Mike to tell him our plan. He was 100% on board with it, let him know it was going to happen. But, you know, I think putting it in the contract as well. Look, there are things that could happen that could change our timeline a little bit, but as long as things stay on track, the goal is to have the turf put in for next season. And then we'll get deeper into some design meetings and so forth in terms of the stadium and what's next.
And as far as just donor support, you know, when you see a head coach get hired, I think from a fan perspective, and you hear these announcements, hey, we're going to put in turf, it's going to fire them up and want them to give to support the program in any way they can.
Yeah, and I think we have a lot of our fans and alums and donors that want us to step it up in baseball. And I think once they kind of see it, it's just like recruiting. I mean, you got to have something you can show in terms of what the future looks like. I mean, turf is the first step to that. I mean, we've already had several donors say they would step up to the plate, no pun intended. So,
oh, intended.
Intended. I didn't walk in with that queued up. So, yeah, and then, you know, when we get to the point where we'll roll out some designs, we want to get Mike's input on a lot of that too. I think when people see that, if you trust the vision and you can see it, you're more willing to give.
There's an interesting point too, because I know there were people and there are fans and good fans who were frustrated that there isn't something rolled out there. But as you've sort of been there, done that, right? A goal without a plan is a wish. And they've seen some drawings at probably just the wish stages to the point where put us in a situation where, and I agree with you that, you know, the next time fans see a drawing, this is what we want to do. This is what it's going to cost. Here's how you get involved with that.
Exactly. And you said it. I mean, and the cost part of it, fundraising will be a piece of the puzzle. I've said it before, we're going to have to do some phases here. But the longer term goal is if we can do it in phases, then hopefully we won't have to miss any time or have to go play somewhere else during our season.
And I don't want to spend this whole deal on baseball, but it was certainly relevant with everything that's gone on in the past week. But I want to bring up one thing Brad and I have talked about on this podcast probably a couple of times now. You go back to the start of the season this past year and the 8-0 start. The excitement that we saw at that point after the win over Ole Miss, and I remember we had a Tuesday night game in late February where you don't tend to see big crowds, and we had over 1,100 people out there on a Tuesday night to see us play UCA. It just showed that the support is there if you're winning and things are going in the right direction with baseball. This can be a big deal here.
Right. And I think everybody listening to this knows Northeast Arkansas, there's a lot of really good baseball. I mean, Valley View just won the state championship. I mean, I think we need some more offerings. You know, we have 80,000 people in Jonesboro, many more if you go, you know, outside of the city and some of our surrounding areas. It's why we have two big hospitals and countless number of banks and retail and restaurants. I mean, people come to Jonesboro, and you're right, the weather plays a factor sometimes, certainly with baseball. But if you have some indoor, outdoor premium options and people can plan on going to the game and getting something to eat, I mean, having a great experience, they'll come back, have something where the kids can run around. I mean, baseball is one of those sports that's very family oriented, and I think our community is that.
I'm going to say this, and not just to give you an opportunity to deflect or share some of the credit, but because it's true, and sometimes I don't think people know just how true. But I would say, certainly with some things we talked about with Coach Silva, in your hire of Sue J. Lama as a tennis coach, and even with Coach Hodson, things were done at the university level to help you make those jobs more attractive, which speaks to you. When you talk about that connectivity at the campus and system level, it's not just a talking point. It's those sort of things you're talking about. Is it Dr. Shields, the board, did things to help you make these jobs more attractive when they were open?
Exactly. And we say it all the time, alignment. And that starts at the highest level. Dr. Shields has been a big part of that, of course. Athletics is important to him. And I've said this before, when I took the job, I didn't know who my boss was going to be. But Chuck Welch said, who we hire will understand, you know, athletics is going to be the front porch of the university. It's going to help us grow. We've talked about that being the case at Alabama, even back when Coach Bowden first got to Florida State. And everything grew from athletics. Now, don't get me wrong. You have to have good professors, deans. It all ties together. But if the alignment is set from the top, you can do great things.
And you and I looked, you sort of generally knew these numbers, but we looked specifically at them one day last week. The year before Nick Saban got to Alabama, enrollment at Alabama was 23,000. This year, by all accounts in the fall, it'll probably top 40,000.
Exactly.
That's a pretty good jump. Just so happened to coincide with the time he was there doing a lot of winning.
And obviously enrollment, but the city of Tuscaloosa changed. The downtown area, the strip, there wasn't as much activity. I would venture to say hotels in that area have probably tripled. Restaurants the same way. It's more of a destination. They have some things now down by the river that didn't used to be there. So it's grown. It's something you can point to when you're having these conversations. And then it ties in with our community and those in the business world. They want to grow. The more people that are here for our events, the more people are eating in the restaurants and spending their money.
You talked about the connectivity and Dr. Shields and your relationship. And I think that's kind of a good segue here, because we've been doing these Howl on Wheels stops, and we're recording this on Tuesday afternoon. I know we're about to head to Fayetteville here in just a little bit and do our last event. But you know, one thing that has come up at all the stops, and Dr. Shields has talked a lot about this, is something that kind of goes along with what you talked about in Tuscaloosa. And that's just adding to the atmosphere around the university and this entertainment complex that is coming soon to the university. Dr. Shields is talking a lot about that. And that doesn't just help on the university side. I'm sure that's going to help on the athletic side as well.
Yeah, and Dr. Shields has mentioned it, I think, at every stop. But I think we need more for our students to do. That will tie in with the arena, with the football stadium, with baseball. If you're right there, sororities, fraternities, the apartments, dorms, you could walk to these places. You can walk to our venues. And we saw it with basketball this season. Once there was kind of a renewed energy and it was the place to be, we had some awesome crowds. We had an awesome crowd on national TV that a lot of people saw and maybe opened their eyes to A-State. And hopefully people want to come to school here.
One thing I'll throw on top of that here, and this has come up at a couple of the stops as well, is Red Wolf Boulevard and just all the traffic. I mean, what's there, 30, 40,000 vehicles a day that go past those facilities. And you see this incredible football stadium. You see the embassy that used to be an old track complex just a few days ago, a few years ago.
Seemed like it.
But before you were here. And that is upgraded, just the look of all that. But you add on baseball now and start to make some improvements there, it's going to be even that much more attractive to everybody going by.
Exactly. And you mentioned the embassy. That's been a big part of it, too. Even having Coach Silva stay there for a few days during his visit. You know, we have a lot of recruits and parents stay there. Our football team stays there on a Friday. And having it right within walking distance of our venues is key. And we just have to build on that. And I think I've heard 40,000 in terms of Red Wolf Boulevard. But that baseball entrance way to the university is very important. And that's why this is moved up on the priority list.
You know, with that entertainment district and hoping that can become a reality, and it helps on two fronts and from a student standpoint. Number one, this deals with all of our fans, but there's just so much more competition for people's time and money than there used to be. Right up to and now including the fact that you can sit at home and watch every game. But with the students, too, you've got that, plus the fact that, you know, Arkansas State historically is still having to try to sort of shake loose of the stigma of being a commuter school, a place where you drive to class and try and drive home and go about your business. This is a thing that can hopefully help that as well.
Yeah, so you're planning your weekend. A lot of people, the first thing is, oh, I'm going to go back home, or I'm going to go to Little Rock or whatever the case may be. But we have a big football game on Saturday. We have basketball going on, baseball. You plan your weekend around that, and that's what we got to get to. That's why growing enrollment is important, not only from a revenue standpoint, but having more kids on our campus, yep, more kids at our events. And I know Brad and his staff have worked on some various things to entice our students, but you're right, they have a lot of options. I mean, and that's one thing we talk about, it probably not enough, when you can watch every game pretty much across the board in our sports on your phone or at your house. Changes the game a little bit, so that's why we got to make it a destination, and the in-game experience is so important.
Yeah, and Brad's done a great job with that, and that was one of the things you talked about when you came in, was just trying to improve the fan experience. And look, we've got a great opportunity starting off the football season with two straight home games, and I know you guys have probably done more research on this than I have at this point, but to have two home games in a row to start the season is a really rare thing around here, and to bring in teams like UCA and a Tulsa, this is a great platform for not only the football program, but the whole university.
Yeah, and even the excitement with, you look at these preseason all-conference teams that have started to come out. You know, obviously we bring back the freshman of the year in the Sun Belt and Jalen Rayner and some of the talent we have coming back. I think there's a good buzz. And if we can get off to a good start with those first two games, hopefully we get some decent weather. We're going to kick those two at 6 o'clock, so people have time to tailgate and then get into the stadium. And I think one thing in the game experience category that, and a lot of people have helped make this happen, is even selling beer at our events, the arena and football and baseball. I told a story. I was walking up the stands when we first got the beer sales put in place, and lady just held up her beer and just said, thank you. Now, I played a very small role in all of this, and it was already, the ball was already starting to kind of get rolling. But man, some people just want to get some popcorn or peanuts and grab a beer, and because they could do that at home.
It's funny, and I know I've got fan experience in my title, but it's almost comical what a chicken or the egg prospect it is, because the number one thing that increases fan experience is fans, right? If we could play the same music, the same style of play, the same timeout promotions, and everything be 100% exactly like it is, and if there's nobody there, people that were there are going to go back and say, well, that wasn't very much fun.
The winning also, yeah, is that good? So, fans winning, they all tie together.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, it's amazing how
it all goes together.
Get huge savings now at every Kavanaugh dealership. Kavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Kavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to KavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact, spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
Continuing to visit with Jeff Purinton here on the Second to None podcast, brought to you by Kavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. We mentioned 2 years that you've been here now and just the overall success, and we've talked about it at all these Howl on Wheels stops, just the overall success the past year, and 118 Bubas Cup points, which is how they keep track of just the overall competition in the Sun Belt throughout the world of athletics. I think that says a lot about the success, all the postseason success. I know you mentioned we finished fourth in the Bubas Cup. the Bobo's Cup had them second,
tied for second,
which is the average
per
score.
We have less sports than most, and we also have, you know, added some really good teams to our conference. So now we have 14, and it's more competitive than it's ever been.
Yeah,
and it's not me; it's our staff and our coaches and our student athletes. But 23-24, you could argue, was one of our better across the board years. And we talk about it. We talk about it in our meetings, where we are in the Bubba's Cup standings, and I get Jerry Scott to update them, you know, every time and put them up on the board. And I want everybody to know where we stand and where we need to get better.
With the second fewest sports of anybody in the league, we have 15 out of 20. I'll break it down. We offer 15 of the 20 sports that the Sun Belt has a championship in. It's the same number as, I think, App State. They're also at 15. And the only school with fewer, I think, is Old Dominion at maybe 12. Now, Old Dominion's also at the bottom of the Bubba's Cup standings, or near, and it's part of the reason why. So that's why kind of that per sport average is a good indicator, because you have the second fewest sports of anybody in the league, finished fourth, 1.5 point out of third. And
bowling doesn't count.
Yeah, you get nothing for bowling.
I was going to say that. If we could figure out how to get some bowling points, we'd move up a couple more spots.
And honestly, and I say this jokingly because I think it's a really short-term situation. You know, part of that, and it's also in a year where track was kind enough to let somebody else win one in the outdoor because they were so banged up. That's not going to last forever either. So
that's right.
Get ready. Here they come.
I mean, and that's what Coach Silva said, I believe, in his press conference or an interview. You know, he's not rolling out of bed every morning to finish second. And I know that's lofty, and we have a long way to go for baseball, but for all of our sports. I mean, if we're going to play, then we want to win. Yeah. We want to get to first in the Bubba's Cup. I mean, that's the goal.
You got 16 sports. Sometimes people lose track. Track represents six of our 16 sports. 10 of the 16 made it to some sort of postseason you had to qualify for or get invited to. You know, that includes, like, women's golf getting to postseason for the first time ever, and they're really young. You know, volleyball went to a postseason tournament, and they're really young. They were the kind of teams that benefit from going to the tournaments they went to. Even for men's basketball, yeah, to go to the tournament they went to and bring that core of eight guys back. You know, it wasn't just a good 23-24. Those teams laid the groundwork for even a bigger 24-25.
Exactly right. I mean, and I was looking around our head coaches. We had a head coaches meeting this morning, and we meet once a month, and just looking around the room, feel really good about our coaches. And I know every single one of them wants to win the conference championship. And that's the goal. And we're going to talk about it and hopefully get there.
Yeah, it's just a really good vibe right now across all of our athletic programs. And I was talking to somebody here in the last couple of days, and we were talking about, and they were asking about the Howl on Wheels events and just the reception. And I said, look, the crowds have been great. We've been really excited about the crowds that have turned out. And I think the programs are fun. You know, I think everybody's really engaged with what we're doing. But it's not like we have to sell anything. Mm-hmm. We have to get up there and just talk about what's going on, because it kind of sells itself at this point. When you have this kind of on-field success, on-court success, whatever it is, you really don't have to sell it. I think there is a genuine enthusiasm across the fan base right now, and there's a good reason why.
Yeah, and the first year we did them, you were there. It was a lot of selling kind of the hope and the vision.
Yeah.
And now I think people have seen some results. And then in some areas we haven't had a ton of success through the year, so you have to sell it. And then when you can have some success, then people have a little more confidence. You know, they want to be part of it. So I think we're on the right track, and we'll keep going from here.
So you have gotten sort of back where we started a little bit, because coming off the hire now of Coach Silva, you have gotten a lot of compliments and praise for the job you've done hiring coaches, with the main two hires you've made with Coach Hodson and Coach Lama, and now Coach Silva, what they've done. So what's the secret sauce there?
I said it in my press conference when I got here 2 years ago, and I took this from Kyle Shanahan from one of the 49ers Super Bowl press conference. Just simply put, culture is the accumulation of good people. If you can get the right people and get them in the right place, then you have a chance for success. And fit plays a part in that I mean, I think our women's tennis program, we needed some stability. We needed some energy and somebody with some experience. And fortunately, we were able to hire Sujay, and he's certainly done that. We won more tennis than matches than we have in quite some time. I knew Brian would be unbelievable in terms of recruiting, but I also know like culture, how the players respond to him from my time in Alabama. And I didn't lock in on just hiring Brian. I wanted to talk to a bunch of people. But at the end of the day, Brian was a match for what we needed, and I felt the same thing with Coach Silva, like we talked about at the beginning.
Outside of the beer sales, what are you most proud of over the course of the last 2 years? Is there something in particular you're most proud of?
I just think the positive energy. I think, you know, we feel with Arkansas State right now, and people talk about it outside of Northeast Arkansas. People that watch us play in a bowl game, play for the conference championship in basketball, go to the postseason. People followed along the Sun Belt Golf Championship for the men. And so just to, you know, get the compliments from people, and I want to pass that around to everybody that supports A-State. And I think setting the table with our coaches and coaching staff, but also, you know, our staff in the athletic department, I think we have a little bit better structure now, and we have people in some oversight areas that are doing a really good job, and that's all a big part of it too.
And the Puritans seem very happy here. You and
I should have said that first.
Julie and the
I
girls.
I just talked
there.
To Julie on the phone walking in here. And Josie's about to go to camp somewhere. And Jillian has some plans. And I have to go out of town for a quick meeting. And so we're just trying to coordinate everything. But they are having a great time, especially in the summer, hanging out with all their friends. It feels like we've been here and been part of the community for a decade.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like you've been here longer than 2 years, which is a good thing for somebody in your position, because you guys just came in and got plugged in right away. And another thing that I really admire about you is the way you came in to this whole process. One of the first things you did when you did come to A-State was say, hey, I'm going to sit back and kind of observe a little bit. I'm not going to make any quick decisions. But I think that time of observation was a time where you learned a lot about where we were at and what needed to be done.
Yeah, and I took a lot when Greg Byrne first came to Alabama. He said, you know, everybody was a little bit nervous because is Greg going to bring in a bunch of people from Arizona? I mean, maybe those are some areas that you're responsible for. But Greg said, look, I want to see what everybody's skill set is and see where we're strong and where we need to get better. He did the same thing for the first few months, just evaluated the staff and coaches. And he only brought in one person. He brought in an analytics guy from Arizona. That was it. And we didn't have an analytics person at the time. So that was a new position. And he shuffled the deck a little bit with some responsibilities and had one person retire. But I think he matched up everybody in terms of sport oversight and in some of the different areas of the department. And obviously it's worked pretty well for him at Alabama.
Do you think, or had you been told through the years coming up, that you have a good poker face?
No, I used to play a little poker every once in a while, but are you talking about in terms of coaching searches?
Just period.
Yeah. I try to kind of keep the same demeanor and stay pretty even keel throughout, no matter if we're having a rough day, a great day. We want to celebrate those, but I also don't want to get too up or too down. Especially these days, it seems like there's a lot of volatility in society and college athletics, and we just need to kind of stay on the path, worry about the things we can control, hire really good people, and hopefully go win, have success, and I think the rest takes care of itself. We're dealing with a lot of the same challenges everybody else is, so I can sit around here and mope about it and complain about all the things going on, or we can try to figure it out.
Well, congratulations on 2 years. Are we leaving anything out here? Is there anything else we need
you hit it
to
all.
Convey here?
Yeah, I look forward to the fourth time.
All right. Yeah, it's a race now between him and Coach Jones to see.
We can do a dual show.
Well, if we did this sort of doing some rough math, if we did this next week, next year, you'd be episode number 200. So,
all right, we'll plan on it.
You are thinking ahead.
That's right.
That's Jeff Purinton joining us here on the Second to None podcast. We'll wrap things up right after this.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.com.
FirstNational.net/mortgage. From our family to yours. Welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Red Wolf fans, this is Demario Davis, proud Red Wolf and linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm asking you to help out our current A-State student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our players by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities, make a monthly commitment, and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. Thank you, and Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, brought to you by First National Bank and by the Kavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Kavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at KavanaughCars.com.
So before we get into, you know, what else is going on, and it's, that's not a lot, but it is interesting, and I'm glad toward the end of that conversation. So as you're listening to this, just a couple of minutes ago, you heard Jeff Purinton talk about how he tries to keep things even keeled, because I've never seen anything like it, especially.
Have you ever seen him actually upset?
Not really. Even keeled is exactly the phrase I use to describe him. I don't know what raises his pulse. I wanted to ask, get it back in here, ask if he gets mad on the golf course, because I would think he's got a great poker face, because surely stuff does wind him up, but he's not going to let you know it. And I mean, there's been times where it kind of that spreads, because you know, there'll be times that maybe some of the others of us are in the office ranting and raving about something, and then all of a sudden you tell him about it, and all of a sudden, instead of him jumping in and ranting and raving with you, he leaves you thinking it wasn't that big a deal. It's pretty impressive. I've never really been around anybody in that position with that demeanor that just is so consistent and calm, seemingly all the time.
Yeah, I mean, and you appreciate that from somebody in a leadership role. He's just been such a really, really good fit in his position. So great to have him in. Appreciate Jeff hanging out with us the last 30 minutes or so. And as you mentioned, there's not a whole lot going on right now. There are some camps still going on. This is kind of a big time for those to be going on. But the soccer schedule did come out, and that's going to be here before you know it. Soccer season. There's exhibitions starting in early August, both at home, and then the regular season opens up on August 15th at home. In fact, the first four games of the year, regular season games, are at home. And August 15th, they'll take on Little Rock to begin the 2024 campaign.
And it's possible, depending on when you're listening to this, it's possible that the volleyball schedule is out by now. And I can tell you, I'll tell you a little bit of it. They are going to play at home the first weekend in a multi-team event. Make your plans as you're looking at that football schedule and that UCA game. Make your plans to be there the night before that as well, because volleyball is going to be home. That's the first day of the volleyball season on August 30th, and got a pretty nice couple of matches, and certainly an opponent that people will be interested in watching us play in Jonesboro on that Friday night. You'll hear an awful lot about that as we go along, and just roll right into football. And to your point with something you were talking about earlier with Jeff, unless I've really miscounted somewhere along the way, this will be the second time since 1987 that an Arkansas State football team has started a season with back-to-back games in Jonesboro.
Wow. When was the other time? Do you remember?
Not very long ago. Honestly, just a few years back, I think.
Okay.
But before that, yeah, you'd have to go
back. It's really rare.
It is rare. I mean, I can remember us talking about how rare it used to be to play the opener at home.
Yeah.
Much less to get to open with the back-to-back, and with opponents like that, with UCA and Tulsa coming in here, you know, we can talk more about this, and obviously we'll as it gets closer to time, but my goodness, it'd be really disappointing to not have the two biggest crowds since COVID anyway on those two Saturdays.
I agree, and there's a lot to be excited about as we go into this football season, so I'm really looking forward to those first two games at home. Track and field, do want to mention this. Bradley Gelmert, who had such a phenomenal season for the Red Wolves this past year, will be competing at the U.S. Olympic Trials in the pole vault. Prelims are Friday night in Eugene, Oregon, and then if he makes it to the finals, that'll be Sunday. But kind of shows you just the kind of athletes we have right now in that track and field program under Coach Patchell, that they're competing for spots in the Olympics.
So we talked about a few weeks ago. 40 years ago, there was an A-State guy in the pole vault at the Olympics. So sounds like a great time to do it again.
Good luck to Bradley Gilmert as he competes Friday night in Oregon. Anything else we need to mention here before we get out of here?
No, I think that that covers it. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us. We don't get summer break.
Always enjoy doing this. Enjoy visiting with Jeff. And appreciate everybody tuning in. As always, for Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.